Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Good to be back. I can't begin to tell you how glad I am to be back at the office, back here in our top secret broadcasting. I almost forgot where it was. I almost couldn't find the place. And I am sling free. I am recovering. Went to the doctor today, pulled all the stitches out, and I've got a limited range of motion in my arm. I can pick up papers and turn to Bible pages right now, which I'm very thankful to do. I appreciate all of the cards, all of the emails, the phone calls, the prayers from people, the kindness that you all have shown me. Number one, I can tell you I don't deserve it. Number two, I sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart for the love that a lot of you have shown me and my family and my church and everything else. And just glad to be back here with you, and let's just enjoy our study of the Word of God and let God fill us and teach us great and mighty things that we know not. We left off the last Bible study. We were in the book of Ruth. We had actually finished the book of Ruth, and I had sort of had the idea that we were going to go to, right after that, we were going to go to the book of Esther. And so I was got my Bible out the other day, and I began to read the book of Esther. And don't get me wrong, the book of Esther is a great book, and there's some really neat things in there about people hanging from a tree and numbers and salvation and all that stuff. But I started reading it, and I'm just going, that ain't it. That is not it. Lord, where do you want me to go? And immediately, okay, the book of Revelation. Now, here's what I'm going to say. We're going to begin a study on the book of Revelation. Now, I sincerely hope, knowing me, I sincerely hope that before we ever get done, we're out of here. Okay? I am taking on a book that is 22 chapters long. And let me give you my idea of Revelation. Number one, it is a revealed book. And there is a blessing to those who read it, and we'll study all that. To me, the book of Revelation is an index to the entire rest of the Bible. If we study the book of Revelation, see, I can even scratch my ear too. If we study the book of Revelation, we cannot isolate it from the rest of the scriptures. It's not biblical, number one. Here a little and there a little. And the book of Revelation is going to be to us an index to the rest of the Bible. We're going to see things, and we're going to go back, and we're going to see it here. And then we're going to see some in Isaiah and Nehemiah, or Nehemiah, as I heard when I was a kid, or Jeremiah. Or we're going to see it in 2 Thessalonians, which will probably be there today. And so it's going to take a long time for us to get through the book of Revelation. But in doing so, we're going to take the opportunity then to study, along with the Revelation, we're going to study a vast majority of the rest of the Bible. And so just pray along, and we'll move along as God allows. And really, I'm not planning on getting out of the first three verses, if that, okay? The book of Revelation is in some people's minds, it's a controversial book. In some people's minds, they won't even touch the thing. They won't read it. They won't preach out of it. That prophecy stuff, that scares people, you know. We're more about positive things for people. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more positive than getting a blessing out of reading this book and believing what's in the book of Revelation. And so, number one, it's going to take a while. Number two, okay, there are things in this book of Revelation that right now I don't get it. Okay, I don't understand. It kind of scared me a little bit when I felt like the Lord was laying this on my heart. I'm going, Lord, there's some things I out of here I don't know, and it's like God saying, what are you, lazy? What, you don't want to learn anything? Oh, okay, maybe God's going to show me great and mighty things that I know not. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that. So pray for me that as I study through this thing, and we study this thing together, that God will give us revelation. Okay? Another thing. You do not find the word dispensationalist in the book of Revelation. The word dispensationalist is not in the rest of the Bible. The dispensation of the fullness of times is. As some people say, are you pre-trib, pre-millennial, pre-this, and post-this, and this, and that, and the other? Let's not do that. Let's study, let's be free, let's not follow, and there's been some great men that came before I came along that studied this book out, studied the rest of the Bible out, and I'll tell you what, they had some good stuff, no doubt about it. But let's not, I am not going to make the book of Revelation fit into a big Loazzo Brothers chart. Okay, I don't know if you know what that is. You Google it and you'll find out. These big charts with all these drawings of how everything... I'm not going to try to make the book of Revelation fit into the chart. We're just going to study the Word. Ask me what I believe. I believe the book of Revelation. I believe every word in here. Do I understand it? I don't understand everything. That's why I'm studying. Am I going to say some things that maybe you didn't am I going to say some things that maybe you have not heard before? It's possible. Am I going to say some things based upon what I see here that maybe contradict the, what they call, let's say, the premillennial, pre-tribulational, dispensational, whatever viewpoint that everybody locks themselves into? It's highly likely that I'm going to do that. Not because I have a malicious character, not because I have some secret agenda that I want to try to bring you over to my way of thinking. I couldn't care less, number one, about what I currently right now think I know about the book of Revelation, nor what everybody else thinks. What I'm concerned about is biblical truth. And so we're going to take the book of Revelation, we're going to approach it in that manner. I don't want to be offensive to anybody, I never do, but I'm going to follow what this book, not just this little 22 books of the book of Revelation, but again, going to the rest of the scriptures, we're going to follow what it says. We're going to let the Bible teach us what it says. And don't, if you already have a predisposed idea of how you think everything's going, don't think then that this is going to be a threat. Look at it as an opportunity for us to do some really, really deep-rooted study of the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar is what we're going to do. I was going to, when I come up here, I was going to have a big stack of commentaries, and I got a bunch of them in my office on the book of Revelation and this and that and the other. Like I say, there's some good stuff in there. Don't get me wrong. But the commentaries are not inspired. They are not the revealed Word of God. They are an attempt by someone to teach things that they know to be in the Bible. And so really, that's what we're going to do. We're going to let the Bible be the commentary on everything. And here again, before we get into probably the real controversial stuff, I mean, it may take years for us to do this. That's okay. Okay, maybe we have a long time, maybe we don't. But by the time I really probably start to get myself into a jam, maybe the Lord will come and save us all and take us all home to heaven. We can just sit at Jesus' feet and go, tell us about the book of Revelation, Jesus, and He'll tell us all about it. Looking forward to that day. Let me do some contrast here, okay? Let's read Revelation chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things, that's very important, of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time, I love this, the time is at hand. There's that hand there, the symbolism of the hand, the numerics of the hand, and so on. So number one, we're going to get a blessing out of this. God's going to bless those who read the words of this prophecy. And again, I have this idea that the book of Revelation acts as an index to the rest of the Bible. And so certainly, blessed is he that readeth the entire revelation of God, which is the King James Bible. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. prophecy. And by the way, prophecy is one of the most important teachings that churches should be teaching. And how do I say that? I say that because it's the essence of prophecy that we are supposed to be preaching the gospel by. In other words, we ask people, when you die, where are you going to spend eternity? Okay, that's a prophetic notion, because you have a lot of people say, well, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I hope I'm good enough to go to heaven. And then you start giving them Bible prophecy. You're telling them that the Bible declares their end from the beginning. It's declaring what is going to happen in their future by declaring it in the pages of the Word of God. And that's the essence of the gospel message, telling people, where are you going to spend eternity, either heaven or hell? That's a prophecy. And so, believing the words of this prophecy, there's a blessing in it. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to get my New King James Version of the Bible, okay? And I haven't really studied this out, but I just know that there are some discrepancies here in the book of in the New King James Bible. There are discrepancies between this Bible and this Bible, okay? And let me just say, okay, that I can't even turn to the book of Revelation in this thing. Here it is right here. There are discrepancies between this book and this book here. And so there is a blessing to those who have kept this book. Okay, it's what it says. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, if I were to do some sort of study here, the book of Revelation, in my New King James Version of the Bible, with the triple helix triquetra logo on it, I will probably find some discrepancies. I already know there's discrepancies in other places in here. And so, somebody decided not to keep all the words. They decided to discard some of them and replace some of them. And so, no blessing here, okay? Blessing here. Now, also bring Mr. Pike into play here with his morals and dogma. A contrast of books here. Oh, there's Fat Albert with his lovely silver hair. Albert Pike says, esoteric book for Scottish Rite use only, to be returned upon withdrawal or death of recipient. You've heard me make mention of this before and read that before. And here's where I'm going with this today, and I'm already over time. That's all right. We're going to go a little bit beyond our 30-minute time slot today. And just warning our advertisers right now. I don't have any appetizers. Anyway, the contrast between, and my doctor said that I could do this if I wanted to. Okay, the contrast between this book and this book, because the book of Revelation, even by its very name, and some way back years ago, they called it the apocalypse. Now, let me kind of straighten this out for you. The word apocalypse does not mean, oh, death and destruction and doom and gloom and some terrible thing. That's not what the word apocalypse means. It's a Greek word, apo, which means from or out or whatever. And calypse, you've ever heard of calypso? Who was that? Jacques Cousteau used to run around in the Calypso. He named his little vessel because he was swimming under the sea. A Calypso was this little Greek, was this little nymph, this little fairy, this little demon that went around covering everything. It was like a covering demon, things to keep things hidden. Okay, calypse means to cover. Okay, so apocalypse means literally to uncover, to unseal, to unveil. We're going to reveal things, is what we're going to do. So they're associated with one another. But by its very name, and the very first verse here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, this Bible reveals, this book conceals. It has all these little secrets in here with these allegories and symbols and words that you don't understand and all these gods and stuff like that, and you won't get it. You'll read that book and go, I think I get it. Okay. It's kind of like listening to some rock lyrics. Okay, I kind of get that. I don't know. Anyway, that is concealed. The Bible is going to reveal. And who is it going to reveal it to? His servants. He's going to show it to his servants. There's a lot of people out here in this world. They're not going to get it. Okay, it's not going to happen to them. Why? Because they refuse. They refuse to serve the Lord. Now, I am a servant. I hate the way the NIV puts it. Paul, a bond slave to Jesus Christ. I'm not a slave to Jesus Christ. I am a willing servant of my Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll serve Him until the day I die, and then I'll serve Him forever after that. And so God is going to reveal things to those who willingly want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read this verse again, because I'm going to deal with this theme of revelation. Why is it we need revelation? What is revelation all about? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So we know John is the author of this, and you'd be surprised that the Bible scholars say, well, you know, the authorship of John is in dispute and blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. It says right here, it's John, so why don't you just believe the Bible? Anyway, I like to do word studies in the Bible, and I just picked up on this word revelation or revelations. And several times, in fact, I think there's like 12 different places where the word revelation or revelations is used in the King James Bible. And let me just go through them sort of quickly here, if I can, and just cover this theme of why we need revelation. Why do we need this book? Because in a lot of Christian circles now, it's one of the most neglected books, and unless it just happens to fit the agenda that whatever preacher's using, it's one of the most neglected books in the Bible. They won't touch it. People won't read it. And, oh, I'm a pan-millennial. I believe it'll all pan out in the end. That's just an excuse for being lazy and stupid. Okay, learn something from the Bible, for crying out loud. All right. Anyway, Revelation. We need things revealed to us. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. And I already have the verses pre-printed here, so I don't have to turn to them and waste a lot of time. If you want to turn here, that's fine. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath. And he's talking to unbelievers. Go study the book of Romans, and you'll see that there's a progression that's going in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, dealing with the sinners and the people that have burned with all their lusts and stuff like that. And then Romans chapter 2 talks about how wicked man is. And he says, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, which means you will not repent, you have an unrepented heart. And I want to tell you something. The worst thing in the world that you can have as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian is an unrepentant attitude towards your sin. We're all sinners. We're all saved by grace. We're all under the flesh that we live in is rotten and corrupt and stinky and everything else. And we will sin from time to time. But the worst thing in the world for you to do is cop an attitude with God and say, it's no big deal. Get over it. Okay? You have an impenitent heart, and here's what you're doing. You're treasuring up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, here's the thing. God is revealing to us who love the Bible, who endeavor to keep the Bible, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who love the truth. God is revealing these things to us right now. But, I mean, you got to understand, we live in countries, we live in a world right now, people, they don't care. They don't care. They think that that politicians are going to save the world. They think the United Nations is going to save the world. They think this and that and the other. That if we just have enough rock concerts for peace, man, that we're going to save the world. And that's not how it's going to happen. And what they're doing is that there's God's revealing to us now what He's going to reveal to the entire world one of these days. It's not going to be a mystery anymore. It's the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, keep that in mind. Let me turn over here to 2 Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. That's how I remember. I learned that when I was a little bitty boy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in verse 3, talking about the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except their coming or falling away first, and that man of sin be what? Revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, and so right now, I don't think that the man of sin has been revealed. I don't think he has. Because the falling away has not taken place yet. It's being worked on, hasn't happened yet. The man of sin is going to be revealed. In other words, I think that God's people are going to look at this guy and go, I know who that is. He says he's Jesus. He's not Jesus. And you know what I would look for? I would look for clouds. And we'll get to that later on, Book of Revelation. I would really look for clouds. And so anyway, I would just kind of keep that in mind. But God's people are going to have it revealed. We're going to look upon this person and say, that is not Jesus, that is another Jesus, and I will not fall and worship this guy. I will not have anything to do with him, period. I'm looking up now for my Savior to come, because he's not it, okay? But he is going to be revealed one of these days, and everybody in the world's going to think he is Jesus, but he's really not. And so there is going to be a revelation. This book, Revelation, deals with a lot of things, but it's the revelation of the wrath of God. In fact, you just see here the vials of wrath and all the things God's going to do here. Romans 16, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you. I like these words, establish and stable and static and everything else, because the STA root there, the Latin root STA, means it doesn't move, okay? Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to, listen to what he says, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret. Let me turn back here to the OT, the Old Testament. Here, the mystery was kept secret, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, notice that the book of Revelation is not anywhere in the Old Testament. It's not there. In fact, if you want to contrast, here we have, and just think about the placement pattern of God. Revelation is not just the 66th book of the Bible, it's the 27th book of the New Testament. Contrast that with the 27th book of the Old Testament, which is the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, the very, very last thing that was said in here, verse in Daniel 12, verse 9, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. So if you just happen to have bought Jack Van Impey's video series on Daniel Unsealed, wasted your money, because it's not unsealed yet. It's not there yet, but it will be. Everything that I see in the book of Daniel that I don't get, and there's a lot that I don't get, is going to be revealed and unsealed in these last days. Okay. And it's going to be done by the scriptures of the prophets. The script, what has been written, not these clowns that show up in church and say, God's called me to be a prophet, and he's given me revelations, and I know things now. I've seen visions, and I've had dreams of what's going to happen. And let me tell you how. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me prophesy over you. And if anybody says that to you, say, okay, we're going to go to Revelation or the book of Daniel. Which is it? Okay. The scriptures of the prophets. It's written down, people. It's not arbitrary that everybody makes up as they prophesy. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The gospel is going to go everywhere so that everybody has a chance to obey. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you, listen to this, talking about revelation. Okay? Brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? In other words, imagine if we were going to have our church service here Sunday morning, and I'm slowly but surely getting back the ability to play the piano, but let's say that I couldn't play the piano, my daughter couldn't play the piano, nobody here could play the piano, nobody could play nothing, but one guy happened to bring his little triangle to church, and he said, well, let's sing, well, let's pick a new song of the hymn book, one we don't know, and I'll play it on the triangle and see if we can learn it. It wouldn't work that way. And that's what he's saying here. He said, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? Then he says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Let me get New King James here. This is an uncertain sound. This doesn't sound like this. It's not the same. And he said, if the trumpet, which the trumpet is a picture of the Word of God, and we'll show you that as we move on. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Now, y'all know where I stand on this. And I'm standing biblically, as biblically as I can, and I don't have all the answers. But I see right here that were I to get up Sunday morning and start speaking in unknown tongues to everybody, there's no revelation, there's no knowledge, there's no prophesying, and there's no doctrine. Four things there. There's none of those things given. Nobody knows. Everybody's going, oh, he's full of the Holy Ghost. What's he saying? I don't know. Okay? There's no surety there. There's nothing. There is no revelation. None. Likewise. In Revelation chapter 1, now in the original Greek it says, blah, 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 blah. There's no revelation there. And I know a lot of these preachers who say, well, you know, I use the King James, but, you know, the real Bible's in the Hebrew and the Greek. You know, that's where it really is. You preach out of it, who knows what you're saying? Well, I'm going to give my own interpretation of it. You know, you're not supposed to do that according to 2 Peter. Revelation is important, people. Okay, we're not to operate in our church services, in our private lives, in stupidity. We're not supposed to be that way. We're the ones who are supposed to have things revealed to us so that we know, not just guess, so that we know. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I love this one. Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, let me kind of jump ahead a couple of verses here in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. Paul said in Galatians 1:11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and went up by revelation, and I'm going to get to that here in a minute because there's a neat thing I want to share with you on this one. But the Apostle Paul, upon being called to the ministry and being called to preach, he says in Galatians 1, he said, I neither received it of man. He did not confer. If you go read this in Galatians, Paul said, when I got called and I knew I was going to be preaching, he said, I didn't go to St. Peter Bible College. I didn't go to any of the other apostles. I didn't sit down and say, okay, I'm kind of new to the scene here. Why don't you tell me what it is you want me to tell everybody and I'll go tell them. That's not what he did. Paul spent 14 years at receiving revelations. 14 years, by the way, he wrote 14 books here. The massive core of the doctrines that we believe are based upon the revelations given to Paul by Jesus Christ himself, not by St. Peter, the Holy Father. He wasn't the Pope. Paul went alone, got revelations from Jesus, understood the mysteries, understood the doctrines. Now he can reveal it in his writings as well as the other apostles. Now they're revealed. Okay, but I want you to look at where Paul's coming from on this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, okay, And really, I want you to have things revealed. There's a lot of you out there just have a thirst for knowledge, and praise the Lord for that. But I'm here to tell you, there's a price. Okay? I can tell you, I personally can tell you that there is a price. A lot of you know my testimony. I had a thirst for not God. I want to know. I want to know things. God, show me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I just kept going to God, saying, God, I want to know. God, I want to know. God, I want to know. And God began to show me things from the Bible. I still, there's something right now that I am trying to grasp from the Scriptures and from Freemasonry and everything. It's a number, it's a pattern, and I don't get it. And God, I want to know. But I can tell you that with the revelations comes a thorn. Okay, I can tell you that. There's a thorn. There's a thorn in my flesh that I have asked God, God, get you, got to get this out of me. Okay? And God's always said, I got something better than taking your thorn out. I've got grace. And so thanks be to God, because what Paul said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And I want to say this to some people. And this may not be you, so go watch Oprah for about 3 minutes and then come back, okay? There are some people out there, I love you dearly, okay? And I pray for you, and I pray that God will give you this great big massive thorn. Because you throw around information that you know, things that you say you've learned, and this and that, and things that you've pieced together, and you've uncovered this, and you've seen that, and you have a lot of knowledge. Your problem is you're so cocky and so arrogant and so haughty with it that you are judgmental. And you're passing judgment upon everybody in the world that doesn't agree with you, that doesn't see things the way you do, and on and on and on and on. And that, I'm here to tell you, that is not why God gave you any bit of knowledge at all. He did not give you the knowledge that you have so that you can walk around better than everybody. I've been through that stage of my life, and I hate it. I hate even looking back at it. And I can tell you that the greatest thing that God ever did for me, aside from saving me from my sins, which they kind of go along together, was leaving this thorn in my flesh. Because I'll get puffed up with, the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. And boy, once we know something, boy, we just get prideful. Hey, I know something, you don't. And we do. We stink with it. And every time I want to get prideful of what I know, prideful of, you know, knowing Bible numbers, being able to read, you know, symbols and go, boy, I know what that is, and I know that, and I know that, and I know that. Every time I want to get cocky, a messenger of Satan shows up and buffets me, and God lets him do it, and God just stands there and watches him do it. And I beg God, God, get him off me. God, and God said, no, I'll give you grace. That'll be good enough for you. Revelations are wonderful. Revelations are great. Knowledge is, let's be renewed in knowledge. Let's learn great and mighty things that God wants to teach us. But let's be careful how we use it. Let's be careful of our attitudes towards other people. You weren't better than anybody before you got saved. You're not better than anybody now that you are saved. I'm here to tell you that I'm not. Okay? You're not either. You're not. Paul wasn't, and neither are you. So I pray for all of God's people who really have this thirst for knowledge and wisdom, and they want these revelations from the Bible, and they want to study more, and they want to know more. I'm going to pray that if necessary, God will give you just this massive thorn in your flesh to keep you from getting cocky and arrogant. Okay? That's what I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to do that because I love you. I know how it works. And I'm telling you, this way is better than any other way. Okay? It is. Anyway, back in Galatians chapter 1, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. In other words, Paul didn't sit down. He said, Peter, let me borrow your commentaries because I got this message I'm studying for. You know, I'm supposed to go to Ephesus, and they want me to preach there. And I just need some help with the message. Can I borrow your commentaries? Or Peter. On your website, can I download those messages from you? Is there a service that I can pay? Can I pay you to give me sermons every month so that I can preach them? That's not what he said. I didn't confer with man. I didn't get them from man. Where did he get them from? Got them from Revelation. Jesus Christ was revealed in him, and he preached Jesus Christ the way Jesus revealed it to him. This is why I said at the beginning of this. This is why I said, we're not going to consult the commentaries. We're not going to consult the prophecy authors. We're not going to consult the charts. We're not going to consult these things. We're going to try to get revelation. Okay? That's what we're going to do. Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up, watch this, by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. See, when you get revelation, number one, you'll know things. And number two, when you get revelation, you'll be led by the Spirit of God. God will give you a revelation about what He wants you to do, what He wants you to begin. You know, this Bible study was given to me by revelation. There were people that were praying, hey, what about this? What about this? And God began to reveal it to me that this was the thing to do. This particular Bible study on the book of Revelation, God said, this is what I want you to do. And so this is what we're doing. The Watchman broadcast. God said, hey, Mike, do this. And it was like, oh, I can do that. That's easy. Okay? That's nothing. Okay? And God's blessing those things. And so what we want is we want to be led. Watch this now. We want to be led by revelation. Okay? So read that. That's why there's a blessing. Read and hear the words and keep the words. Is that God not only will reveal things that's going to happen in the future, He'll reveal things and say, here, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to serve. This is what I want you to do. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. We're almost done. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. I love hope. And when you have revelation, you have hope. When God reveals heaven to you, then you have hope. And not just wishing, but hope, knowing that you'll be there one of these days. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. See, when you get revelations, I mean, you get all of this stuff in a package. I mean, you get the riches of His glory. You get the exceeding greatness of His power, that God is more powerful than your flesh. And you get that by revelation. Verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet. We're going to see that in Revelation. And gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Praise the Lord. When you get Revelation, you get the whole package. Okay? Ephesians 3, verse 3, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. Remember, we talked about that. It wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. It is revealed through the New Testament, to be seen in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He said, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, O.T., was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles. Somebody asked me about apostles the other day. Do I believe apostles still exist? Absolutely not. That's crazy. The apostles were the ones personally called by Jesus Christ, Judas taken out, Matthias being brought in. He was a witness of his resurrection. He fulfilled the qualifications in Acts chapter 1. He was brought in. He was voted on. God approved him. And then Paul, who personally was called by Jesus Christ personally into that, and these apostles wrote the doctrines of the New Testament. Anybody coming to you saying, well, I'm apostle so-and-so, you're a liar. You're not an apostle. Okay? Anyway, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It's the Bible. The apostles, New Testament, prophets, Old Testament. They're now revealed through these two things by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Not just Israel, not just the Jews, not just the seed of Abraham, but the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. See, that was all revealed. Okay, last one here. Last one here. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. That means you're not going to get revelations if you're drunk in the Spirit. Oh, Pastor Mike, being drunk in the Spirit's biblical. Kenneth Hagin told me so. Okay, you're going to let a drunk man tell you that it's good to be drunk? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Here it is. Oh, I like it. I like it. It says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The very first words here in Revelation 1 is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe there's grace awaiting for us in this book. I really do. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, revelation will bring a desire in us to be holy, to be clean, to be right with God. It'll bring a desire in us. You mark it down. It's where you see the drunkenness, either through the slain in the Spirit things, or the drunken things that are being poured out, or the contemplative prayer crowd. What you're seeing there that coincides, and you don't see it on the surface, okay? You don't see Benny Hinn having affairs with every woman that he meets on the road, okay? Or drinking, or taking, I mean, I don't know what he does. But I know that if he is this, like drunk and whatever, then the Bible says that he's this as well. They go hand in hand. God will show that to you. But when you get true revelations from the Bible, from the apostles and the prophets, when you get by the Spirit, when you get revelations from this book, okay, it'll make you to want to be more holy. It will. I know, and I don't know everything, okay? But I know pretty much what Albert Pike is trying to conceal in this book. And how do I know it? Did I go to the meetings? No. Did I read the secret document? No. I know that because the revelation came to me by the apostles and the prophets. Okay, that's how I know what's in here. Okay, you want things revealed, go right here. And in fact, now let me put it on a practical realm, and then we'll close. Okay, let's say that you've got some kind of business dealing going on. Let's say you're trying to buy a house, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that, or whatever. Okay, trying to buy a car, and you're not sure whether or not the guy, I mean, we don't know, we can't read minds. We don't know if somebody's trying to shyster us or take our money or what. I mean, we don't know that. Okay, and I'm not saying that nothing bad will happen to you if you just read enough Bible. What I am saying to you is that if you will get in this book and go to God and say, God, I'm fixing to go into a business deal here that, man, I just don't know anything. I don't know, God. I don't know. God, would you show me in this book what to do? And then give me the grace to follow your leading. Wow. Let me tell you how God works in situations like that. I can tell you that if you'll get in this book and you'll pray, God will just reveal just every day. I mean, you'll have like more power than the people who are in the occult world. Okay, you'll have more power than the clairvoyants, the mind readers, the palm readers, the stargazers, the witches. You'll have more power than they will, because theirs is just a cheap imitation of the real power that God gives us through this Bible and through His Spirit. That's what revelations do for us. So anyway, Revelation. Here we go. Okay, we're going to finish out our study in the book of Revelation in like, 78 years. All right? Anyway, praise the Lord. I love you. We'll see you at the next Watchman video broadcast.